Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Professor Gary Lee. I want to say thank you for allowing us to be in your home on Tuesday night. And I believe we've done over 800 shows before. And, you know, tonight's a very special show. It stars the six people I put together, along with the producer, to talk about the mechanics of sport karate and especially the mechanics of the museum. Now, before we start, I just want to say I appreciate each and every one of the history generals and the ambassadors that have supported, you know, me for 30 years. And, you know, I know there'll be a lot of people listening tonight for maybe the first time. And we want to welcome you. You know, the corporations of Kellogg's and Ford and Chevrolet and Del Monte. And, you know, God bless you guys. I appreciate the outside community being even interested in our sport karate. Now, before I talk about the mechanics, I would like to share with you something that's important. In 1997, I was approached by a man named William Berry. And William Berry basically said he wanted to build a Bruce Lee Memorial Amusement Park. So what I did was I bought 3 acres outside of Houston, and I said, okay, Mr. Berry, do your work. And he got an investor, and the investor was going to donate literally $3.2 million to build this amusement park. Well, he had a heart attack, and as the money vanished, I realized that I was stuck with an idea that they were going to put the Sport Karate Museum inside the amusement park. Well, there was no amusement park, and it kind of vanished. So in 1999, I put together my son's test, and I had Alan Steen there, Skipper Mullins, Fred Wren, James Tony, I mean, a slew of people from all around America. And we invented the Sport Karate Museum in 1999. And the people of the six, all six of you guys, and including my producer, Mr. Bowen, have all been instrumental in sport karate. Now, before we go on, I want to introduce two important people. Now, these guys are my co-hosts, and they literally keep me in line every week. And the person I would introduce is Mr. Dean Piles. He's a NASCAR world champion, a great guy, and he understands sport karate. Dean, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, buddy. Welcome to the show tonight.
Hey, Dean.
And,
hey, bud.
I'm looking forward to your opinion on what sport karate should be. Now, don't go nowhere. My other co-host guy that I deal with, and he deals with me, and he's a great guy. He's actually a real master. You guys know me. I don't use the word grandmaster, master very often. But I like saying Master A.J. Perry. A.J., are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for a nice introduction.
Well, the check's in the mail, right? Well,
Gary?
A.J.
Yeah, Gary?
I've got yes, sir?
Yeah, we in the past, you know, a couple of years lost a lot of martial artists, you know, as you well know. And we lost another one today. And it was Grandmaster Chuck Seraph. And he was like one of the first Americans in Taekwondo. And, you know, he was, let me see, 89 years old. And he started his martial art training in the service in Korea.
30 seconds of silence. Do you think that'd be cool?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's give him 30 seconds of silence and start now. AJ, thank you so much for that, because
Yes, sir.
Everyone that, especially say past 75, that's been in Fort Karate is a treasure. Now, the guy that has really put me together on the air and around the world and over 800 shows is my producer. He's an amazing individual. He has created Elite Publications, the AMAA Alliance, and the Radio Network. He really cares about sport karate. We invented a book. He does the ring. I mean, I'm so excited about this man and introducing him every week. The Mahanti Jesse Bourne. You there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm excited about tonight's show because I know if anybody knows, especially through the book, you know the mechanics of sport karate. So what's your vision of the future of what we can do with sport karate in the museum?
Well, you know, I really think that the future of the museum because of the technology is how can we integrate it to be able to support you to make it easy that it goes on even beyond you or even beyond, you know, myself. As you say, you know, when you're 70, 75 years old, every day is a treasure, and we really appreciate that because there's so much history every day that we lose, whether it's in our family, especially in the martial arts. And, you know, some of the things that we talk about in the martial arts, some of them are good and some of them are not so good. And a lot of the not so goods are because of the leadership. And this is what we have to have in the 21st century because, you know, we're really dealing with some really big issues. And the martial arts is that place that parents for the past, you know, 40 years have been able to go to that martial arts instructor and get some good life skills that would help their kids become better. And I think that, you know, we have to just realize and recognize that we have to keep up with time. So the future of the martial arts is that instructors will have to do more than just teach kick and punch because they have to be actually become life coaches because this is what we need now is to be able to have life coaches and that we can be a power source of information. Because, number one, we're martial artists. Number two, because we work hard to live what we say. So I think that's going to be the foundation, as I see as the future of the martial arts, is that martial artists will have to really adapt to a new way, not change their art, but be able to adapt and have a new thinking of the 21st century.
Well, I think that you're amazing. I think that your vision of what you've done with the books and what you've done with the radio podcast and what you're doing with the Elite publication, it's amazing. And I want to say personally on the air, thank you for what you are and what you've done and sharing your vision with what we've done on the radio show. We're over 800 shows now, right? We've done a lot of shows.
Yes, sir, we are. We're moving towards that 15,000 people viewing the program, and we've been working this past month to actually bring on our friends from Brazil that they'll have their own program on our radio network, which we're hoping is going to bring a lot of international attention to come to the show page to be able to click that play button. And that's what I mean by technology, is you're building relationships. And you're building relationships because that we can interact with people all over the world, just like through our radio program, and we can build relationships. And of course, they're not like the relationships we used to have, but it's the 21st century.
Yes, sir. And something I'd like to share with, because of the radio show, the NW Film Company is going to be doing the movie of the museum, and they wouldn't even – well, they might have known what I've done, but they found out by listening to the radio show. And they'll be there in October and witness what we're doing to honor Roy Kerbin. And, you know, Judge Roy Kerbin has done so much for karate. He was one of the guys that Well, he was the guy that brought the two-point kick to America. The Koreans invented it, but he brought it to America at the Fort Worth Forum. And he also was responsible and the one that unified the rules. Because before Mr. Kerman did his thing, every tournament in America was different. Every tournament was different because whoever was there wanted to do it their way. But Mr. Kerman unified the rules. And he also brought the AOK along with Joe Alvarado, Jose Santa Maria, Mickey Fisher, Ishmael Robles, and George Minshew to kind of fight the boxing commission and a lot of them come in and take over sport karate because of the contact. So Mr. Kerman played a lot, and we're going to be honoring him October 7th and 8th, and we've got an amazing weekend planned for everybody. And we're also going to honor Mr. Burleson, Harry Mott, Bob Wall, Bill Coppell, Gwen Keeney, who we lost all within a month of each other. And a lot of history down that is gone, but it's important that people realize they can go to the Sport Karate Museum website and they also see the history. And that is www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. Now, I'm going to introduce the six, and I'm so proud of this group. The first person, of course, we enter is always a lady. And as you know, I could have chose any lady from around the country. But I chose this lady because she's got the sand, as we say in Texas. She's a karate shoryu stylist. She trained with Mr. Urban. In fact, she's the one that gave me Mr. Urban's suitcase they used to carry around all the time. And she also is a kung fu specialist. And she's an amazing woman, a PKL champion. I'm talking about Miss Karen Slasher. Karen, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much. I appreciate when you talk to me about me like that. It's so sweet.
Well,
thank you.
Check in the mail, like I tell AJ.
Already is. You know it.
Well, you know what? I remember when there weren't any women in karate. I remember when they didn't have any divisions and the women would fight the men. I remember, literally, where guys were jealous because women was involved with karate. The mechanics of the museum will always keep that memory alive. That's why we honored the pink and black. We honored the women every 3 or 4 years. And like next year, we're doing Karen Eden Herdman, one of my co-people that works in the radio show with Bastion Bowman. But the thing about it is we need to honor the women. We need to put the women out there so people realize it didn't just appear. It was hard work. Karen, how do you feel about the mechanics of the museum when it deals with women?
I'm sorry about that. My phone went off.
Okay. How do you feel about the mechanics of the museum when it deals with women?
Well, I'll tell you what. I came, like I always say, I started judo in 1959. And from the time I started, we were always told that the women did not equal the men on the mat. And we always had to wear belts with a white stripe around them because we're not men. You're women. So that attitude started very early, and I was kind of used to it. And in tournament, I used to have to do judo tournaments in order to get promoted. And they treated the women okay, but they didn't care. They didn't care if you were there or not. They really cared about the adult men. That's all they really, really wanted to have there. But when I started working tournaments in the karate world, we had this running joke that the women would always say, well, we all know that when we entered the dojo, they made us teach the kids from that point on. Every girl ever did dojo work will tell you they got stuck, and really stuck with the kids' class all the time. They're expected to teach it, and very rarely were they asked to teach an adult class, especially an adult men's class. No. You had to learn your place, and it was more implied. But at a tournament one time, I heard the tournament director say, let's get these women out of the way so they could get back to judging where they belong. And, you know, we were judging 4 to 7 year old white belt kids. You know, we were always stuck judging children. And we had very little interaction with the adult competitors because we were kept working there all the time. And
Karen, you realize how many second and third places I've won against women.
Do you know how many I didn't place at all because I was a female? Senior division, I was always at some mixed group. And I actually had a judge came up to me later and he said, "You were so good. I loved it." He said, "You made my hands shake." And I said, "Is that why you couldn't turn the cards over?" You get a 9.2 and everybody else is getting 9.9s. And I'm just like, what? I know.
Right.
I made sure that I looked good. It was just this undercurrent all the time.
You know,
so
Karen,
one
of the odd things is people don't know their martial art history. One of the biggest contributors of martial arts in martial art history was a woman. And her name was Fang, and she created White Crane Kung Fu.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. Well, listen, Karen, I appreciate your opinion so much, but I want to share this with you and my audience. I was doing the Grand Championship down in Texas, and I won, and the guy gave me five $100 bills, and that was cool. Then he turned around to the woman who won the Grand Championship and gave her two $100 bills. And I said, look, I won't say his name, but I said, look, why'd you do that for? I mean, he said, well, there wasn't enough women in the division and blah, blah, that, blah, blah, that. I said, whatever. I said, blankety, blank, blank. Listen, I gave that lady two $100 bills, so he had walked out with $400. And it's not about giving her the $200. It's about the fact that respect to the women, that they pay the same price as Denny's. They say they pay the same price as the airline ticket. You know, I mean, to get there, they pay the same entry fee. Why would you deny a woman that won Grand Championship the same amount of money that you awarded a man?
The trophies would say Grand Champion Men Fighting, Grand Champion Men Forms and Weapons. It would be engraved, and you'd say, where are the women? Well, bring the women in, and I'll have a trophy. Well, why should I?
Well,
you know, it really was an attitude like that.
I appreciate you so much, Karen.
All right.
And I appreciate what you say. It means a lot. Now, moving right along, I really do love introducing this next man. I mean, I've known him since he was an orange belt. And I coached him to SKI World Championship in Underbelt Division. Now he's a major black belt in Texas. He's the president of the AOK, the largest sport association in Texas. It's been around since the early 80s. But the real reason I love bragging about it is it took me 17 years to win the Golden Greek, and I won it in 97. But this man has won five or more. He'll tell me how many maybe one day, but I know he's won at least five. And he's an amazing fighter, amazing administrator. I'm talking about Mr. David Chambers. D.E., are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, the check's in the mail, like I told Karen and AJ about that introduction. But, you know, you run the largest association, sport association in Texas, and you've been right there in the middle of it with your instructor, Mr. Simon, and everything, who was the first black man to be a black belt under Jude Reed. And you've been around. So what is the mechanics of the Sport Karate Museum and how you see it?
I have appreciation for history, and I wouldn't consider myself a history buff, but I have appreciation for it. And the best thing about the museum is that it highlights some of the ones who today might not get the notification that they need, the praise they should receive, because people don't know. I believe that it should look even more toward other ways of advertising the things that people don't know about certain individuals. I look at this on May the 14th. We got the opportunity to give the one you just spoke of, Grandmaster Simon, the Lifetime Achievement Award. Now we got three different organizations. We're going to be presenting it to him on there. I think the museum can focus on different ones. We also going to be giving out, talking about the Linda Dentley Award. Now, she's a member of our organization, and even though she has done wonderful things, it's still a lot of people just don't know. And I think the museum
Let me say something. Linda used to drive 40 miles one way to my fight club in Ailey, Texas, and she'd be the only woman there. And Ernie Radar Smith would be coaching her and stuff. And I saw her literally beat up a man one night where the guy walked out with a bloody nose, a busted eardrum. And I know his ribs are cracked, but Linda Dimley is the real deal. And she won probably more grand championships and titles than any other woman in history. And she should be recognized. And God bless you for doing that. It means a lot, David, because
well,
that is important. Really treasure.
Her and I talked quite a bit today, and we offer an award that recognizes her for the in our organization for the one who has the most points get that. And even yet, people don't know it. So we're trying to. So at the turn, we're going to advertise that. And I go back to the museum.
Yeah.
I believe that if it's get more information out about the people that the museum had this information on that people
well,
don't have.
I'm doing that for 30 years now. Come on,
and
man.
I'm saying I'm loving it. I'm saying they need more of what we are, what you're already doing. I'm saying
yeah.
that is.
Well, why got you in the air? How many Goldie rings have you won? More than five. I know I won one or two.
I know that.
Oh, you're still not going to tell me. But, ladies and gentlemen, the Golden Greek is the MVP of Texas. You have them have the most points in kata and fighting, and it kind of says, we loved you, Greek. We loved you for what you did and stood for. And the AOK every year gives out this MVP award, the Golden Greek Award. And back in the day, and the first after Greek died in 1981, I lost it 7 years in a row by like 2 or 3 points. And I got fed up with the AOK. I went away. I started fighting NASCA and NBL and TNT and USAF, all those organizations. And then in 1997, Wade Kirkpatrick, my student, but we used to be a student of Chuck Norris's, he called me and he says, look, Sensei, I want to win the Golden Greek. I said, go for it. He says, no, I want you to come with me to go for the senior. I said, no, I'm done with the AOK. I don't want to come back to Texas. I want to deal with that. And he taught me into it. And it took me 17 years to win the Golden Greek. But D.E. Chambers,
but let me tell you something about that I never told you before. Now, I have won it several years. That next year after that, I didn't win it because Kirkpatrick beat me for it. So that's one of them I didn't get. That's one year
well,
I didn't get it.
I love Texas, and I love Texas because it's deep history there. And going back to the United States Hall of Fame, Alan Sneed, Mr. Burleson, George Minshew, it's amazing. But thank you, Dee, for your opinion and your work. Now, this next gentleman.
Yes, sir.
Again, I love introducing him. I call him Uncle in Hawaii. That means he's family. But, you know, I never dreamed that he would be on a radio show with me and be able to talk history. But I'm talking about the amazing co-founder of the BKF, the Black Karate Federation, who is now the president of the BKF. He worked for Blackbelt Magazine in the early days. He was Ringo Starr's bodyguard and Helen Reddy's bodyguard. And he was a student of the great Joe Louis. And one more thing, 3 years ago, I had the honor of receiving the Joe Louis Blackbelt from the one, the only, Jerry Smith. Jerry, you there, buddy?
Yes, I am.
That was a hell of an introduction, wasn't it? Well, Uncle Jerry, how do you feel about the mechanics of the Sport Karate Museum?
Well, let me put it like this. You know, I've been around for about, so I've seen it all.
Forever.
But the one thing that people have to understand about sport karate and mixed martial arts is that the UFC did not start in a vacuum. There's so many wonderful warriors and fighters who were the first fighters to actually do it, to actually compete on a professional level. To name a few, I would say Joe Louis, Jerry Pennington, Howard Jackson, Benny Arnold and Smiley Urchitti, Sam Pace, Ernest Russell, Lenny Ferguson, John Towns, Danny Lopez, Chuck Norris, Mike Stone, Jim Kelly, Ron Martini, and, of course, Cecil Peoples. And that's just a few. There's so many more.
Yes, sir.
And to let these guys fall through the cracks, a lot of people don't know this. Some of these people, some they just don't. They don't, you know. Everything now is UFC.
We're trying to change that, Jerry. We're trying to change that.
Yeah, well, these men were absolutely, you know, these were the building blocks to what we see today. And as long as I got a breath in my body, I'm going to be shouting their names. And I'm so happy that the Sports Karate Museum is doing what, because these men are national treasures, men and women.
You came to John Intimidad's roast in Las Vegas a few years ago, and you share with me almost every time we talk about the fact you had such a good time and it was different, but it had the flair of keeping that history alive in front of everybody. How did you feel about the event, sir?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the fact that I'm one of those fighters that got a chance to fight nationally, East and West Coast. I didn't get a chance to fight in the South or in Texas like a lot of these guys, but practically everywhere else. And, you know, the one thing that I love about the Sports Karate Museum, I remember I talked to you, and you talked about what you were going to do, that you're going to bring people together from north, south, east, and west. And one of the best times I've ever had in my life at a event was at the event that you threw for John the Tibidad. It was just wonderful. We all went out to dinner afterwards. And so that's why I'm here. As long as I get a chance to talk about these national treasures, I will.
Well, sir, you are a national treasure. And if people don't know Jerry Smith, they don't know point karate and full contact karate, because you trained some of the best champions in the world. And, you know, I share this with you. In October, we're going to be honoring Mr. Burleson, Harry Mock, Glenn Coppell, Glenn Keeney, all these people that we lost within a month. We lost a lot of history. And it's very important that the Sport Karate Museum, the mechanics, is always to remember the treasures and the treasures who are here with us, like you, Uncle Jerry Smith. Now, moving right along, what are your proteges? One of the guys that grew up underneath you and some other people, but he runs the webpage of the Sport Karate Museum, and he is the official editor of all my crazy stories. I'd like to introduce Professor Tom Spellman. Tommy, there, buddy?
Yes, sir, I am. Thanks, Gary.
Well, you're a very, very interesting person, but because you've been to Hawaii and you understand the passion of the Hawaiians to respect the elders and to keep the history real, I want to ask you, what are the mechanics of the Sport Karate Museum from your viewpoint?
Well, you know, the museum protects and preserves the history and the values of the martial arts that we all love so much. It collects and displays the ways, the means, the methods, and the materials that went into the whole of martial arts. And then, for my Shorinro instructor, for instance, he began his journey sitting across from Grandmaster Shunobukuro, teacup in hand, sipping, tea, and was asked by the Grandmaster, while he was there in the Marine Corps training, why do you want to come and train? And the Master sat there and drank his tea and said, what do you think? And my teacher said, well, I want to learn self-defense. He thought that was the best answer that he could come up with. Well, why? And so Shunobukuro Sensei sat for a moment, paused, and then he said, which self is it you wish to defend? And that's really a point for, you know, who we are and what we do. Karate came to our shores in ones and twos, sometimes as from immigrants that came across from the Orient, sometimes more often returning military personnel as time went on after World War II and the Vietnam era. And the things that they brought to our shores and to us challenged our ways of thinking, our new and improved lifestyles, and confronted our impatient nature. When I began, uniforms were rough, unbleached cotton that rapidly shrank to knee and elbow lengths, unlike the geese of today that are bright white, you know, made all kinds of, you know, miracle fabrics that dry perfectly when you bring them out of the
water. Well, I was from Chicago, you're right.
You know, I remember, you know, being told sternly, mochido, mochido, which in Japanese just means one more time. And it was never one more time. It was often hundreds of more times.
Yes,
students,
sir.
We all thought that if we worked hard, we'd get a smile or some kind of attaboy encouragement, but all we got was a grunt or small correction by forming a posture, a slap on the arm to test our focus, our teammate. It was so
In your opinion, it's important that the stories and the things that you're doing on the webpage is important that people can go and, you know, the one word I think about, Tom, when I think about you and the sex, I think about the word authenticity, and that people can go to our webpage, which is www.fortcrawdademuseumarchives.com, and they can read a lot of authenticity. And you're the heart of that now, because you've adopted me, and you've allowed me to be a part of what you've seen, what you have a vision for. And I love the fact that you're editing my stories now. I got to tell a story. Uncle Jerry's going to laugh. At Bob Wall's roast, the great John Corcoran, or Corky, stopped the elevator and told everybody to get off. There's like four people on it. And he put me on the elevator. And he goes, Gary Lee, I need to talk to you. Push the button. Then he stopped the elevator. And he says, Gary, your spelling sucks. And I said, yes, sir. And he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Every story that you write, you send it to me first, and I will edit it. And Corky did that up until about, you know, 2000, whatever. And then now you are editing my stories, and you can read some of the stories that we've written already on the webpage. But thank you, Tom Spellman. Thank you, buddy, for who you are and the passion you have, that you have aloha. And I know that. I can feel that every time I talk to you. And I appreciate you so much.
And it's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to work on the museum. We've got I finally got the A and B portion of the pictures straightened out, that I can move on to the rest, and eventually then I'll be able to get the brand new picture that we've gotten so recently and get that section of the museum page up and running in its full form. So it's pretty exciting.
Yes, well, I appreciate you so much. And moving right along, I've got the two guys that enthused early. I want to get their opinion on the mechanics of the Sport Karate Museum. And the first one I'm going to introduce is, I really love this guy. He actually became part of my system and the way I do things right before Joe died. And Joe actually let me adopt him. And he is a NASCA world champion. He runs a school in Fort Walton, Florida. And he's an animal, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Dean Pyle. Dean, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, bud.
Dean, how do you feel about the mechanics of the Sport Karate Museum and how important is the history?
Well, you know, I've often talked to you about how important the history is, and sometimes I don't think people realize how important the history is. And I know that we do a lot of stuff with Uncle Bill, and, you know, it's good because, you know, he's still alive, and we do stuff with about Joe and things like that. But people need to know about these people. I think sometimes maybe Jeff Smith and some of them go, you know, maybe don't get as much recognition, but, you know, he had a lot to do with stuff. But people need to know about those people. But not only that, the History Museum helps to set up so people can learn about those
people.
So that they
I'm
can...
not the History Museum. I'm not
the Sport Karate Museum. You know, my brain worked. I'm sorry, my brain worked. I probably need Ritalin. But because my brain is way ahead. Yeah, it could be. But, you know, the thing about it is people need to know the history of the sport and know not only what those pioneers done, but what their students done, the legacy that they left and their students left and what they accomplished. And that's a big part, not just because I'm a Joe Louis student that I'm saying that, but you want to know how that road was paved. So if you say we stand on the backs of legends, and we do, like J. Pat Burleson and Mr. Harrison and people like that, well, you got to know the legacy they left behind of some of the people that they left here and what those people done and how those cobblestones added more cobblestones to the yellow brick road, if you know what I mean. Because you got to think there's a start, and then there's got to be somebody else and somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. But if those people don't carry on, then the legacy kind of stops, you know, and that attitude kind of stops. You got to have people that take on that attitude. And, go ahead. Yes.
Let me ask you, what has it been like putting up with me all these years since Joe died?
I mean, you know, I like it because, you know, Joe had a strong personality. And you either liked Joe or you didn't like Joe. You know, some people didn't like him because of his personality, and I'm the same way. And unfortunately, Professor, you're the same way. You know, a lot of people love Professor Gary Lynn, and a lot of people's like, I don't like that guy. Why? Because you don't mind saying what's on your mind and telling the truth. And listen, if we cannot tell the truth in martial arts about martial arts and people don't have the skin to be able to take criticism, how did they ever get to be a black belt? I know per day Joe Louis roasted me and just, you know, he don't need to tell me about what I did good. So what I mean by that is, and this is part of what builds history, if in the history of martial arts we go, well, look, let's just tell the good side. Let's don't tell the bad side. But if you don't tell the bad side, there is no good side. It's just
what
it just is. Yeah.
Yagi-Do,
exactly.
Cobra Kai. Black and white.
Right.
You gotta have harmony. You know.
Right. So what I'm saying is like, you know, is Joe would not tell me if I did 50 techniques in one day that we were working on and he's watching it. So let's just take the Dirty Dozen. Say I worked on the Dirty Dozen, which is just a little handful of just quickly kickboxing stuff. And say I did 8 of them right or 9 of them right or say I did 11 of them right. He's not going to talk about those 11. He's going to go back to whichever one that I messed up and say, hey, in this, what did you do? Where was your foot placement? Where was your head placement? Where was your hand? You've got to get that right. You cannot let that
right.
go. Now, a lot of people is going to go, well, Joe, you didn't tell me about all the good stuff I did. I shouldn't have to tell you about the good stuff that I did. He don't need to tell me
right.
that because if he didn't mention it, it was good. Like I said that to my daughter the other day, and she said the exact same thing. I said, well, you know, I'm telling her this stuff, and somebody was like, well, but she did good. My oldest daughter, Alex, that is the world champion, stopped them right in the middle of their stuff and said, look, I know if he didn't mention it, I did good. So he don't have to blow smoke at me to let me know I felt good. What makes me feel good is that he watched me close enough to pick out my mistakes so that I correct them and don't make them again. And
well,
that's
God
the same way with history. Do
God
I?
Bless you, Kyle, for your attitude and your world championship attitude and your attitude towards the museum and the history of everybody. And I know between the two of us, we'll keep Joe Louis alive. Now, moving right along.
Yes, sir.
One of my co-hosts that I love talking about him because, like you said, I don't use the word master and grandmaster very often, but I enjoy using this word for him. He is a master of Tang Soo-Do, and I want his opinion on what the mechanics of the Sport Karate Museum is. And we're going to talk about something we talked about earlier, about the Korean influence. Go ahead, AJ.
How are you, Professor?
Hey,
you know, it's funny, the Korean influence.
in martial art with the Sport Karate Museum. A lot of the Marines that were in Okinawa in World War II, you know, they started coming back with Grandmaster Triads and bringing martial arts back to America, even though judo was in America before that. In fact, you know, Teddy Roosevelt was an avid practitioner of judo and jiu-jitsu. But they started bringing it back and started bleeding through the tail end of World War II. And, you know, there was some karate, you know, that was in the United States before World War II, but it was kind of underground. And what happened with the Koreans was they were masters of marketing. And they saw at what the United States did, and they studied them. The United States was over there during Korean War, and they used that to segue to bring the martial arts to America because they saw the, not only profitability, but it was a way to the Olympics. And the Koreans were thinking about the Olympics back in the 50s, you know, way before judo was, you know, in the Olympics in 64. They were right. trying to, you know, segue into bringing Taekwondo, even though Taekwondo wasn't officially, you know, named until 65. You know, they had visions of it. But the interesting thing about martial art, and not only just the Korean martial art, is that, how should I put it? You look at the other sports, football, baseball, soccer, whatever. You don't see the concern about lineage like you do in martial art.
Yeah.
You know, you might be in a professional sport talking about a coach, all right? But you don't see the concern about lineage in those sports, baseball, whatever, and like you do martial art. So, you know, martial art is always concerned, but, you know, because it's like family. About the lineage and keeping up in the sport karate
that
museum
word
keeps
again,
it alive.
Authenticity. There's that word again. Authenticity.
Yes, sir.
And
you know, you hear
that.
Vince Lombardo. You know, he's a famous coach. You know, coached many, you know, professional football players. But that lineage isn't never mentioned. Where the Sport Karate Museum keeps that alive.
Yes, sir. And you know, you're part of the specialist. And I use that word, that's on the sixth to be able to talk about things. And here's the next segment that I'm really excited about because I've been a part of virtual reality for years, over 20 years. And I've hooked up with Marie Shanahan, Rick Shanahan, and this young man I'm going to introduce, this doctor, who's a real doctor, by the way, works in the hospital and saves lives. But virtual reality is so important in the future. And what we've done is we've created the village from the last samurai you have to walk through and eventually face this hologram that they've created. You beat the hologram, and you earn the right to go into the history portals. Now, the core group I've chosen have instrumental parts in sport karate history. One, Mike Stone, the first superstar. Mike Dillard, the owner of Century Martial Arts, the inventor of the NKC, and also the owner of Black Belt Magazine, George Minshew, the man who invented the first gold ring to get to a championship, and Miss Gris Minshew, who is the NBL world champion. These people will be the core group. And then every month, through the vision of SetDR.app, we'll put on a new history deal every month. But that's where the history will be, and it'll be progressive. It'll be a hell of a workout. It'll be fun, and you'll learn a lot. Now, I've got one of the inventors on the show, and I've had him on the show for a year now. And he'll get to tell you in depth what SetVR is. They'll be there in October for Roy Kirby's event with the headset. But let me go on. The one, the amazing real doctor, not with just a name in front of me. He's a doctor. He's a medical doctor, Reginald Lee. Reggie, there?
Good evening, sir. Thank you for a nice introduction.
Well, the check's in the mail, right?
Thank you, sir.
Well, tell me what SetVR is, buddy. Go ahead.
Sure. Self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality, SET VR. As I want to reiterate what Professor Gary Lee had said earlier, this is a program that is fun, educational, and progressive. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SET VR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or a threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random, to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, or circular movements, to avoid and place you in an opportunity position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy as you develop muscle memory and the goal of developing a reflex response to a threat or to a stimulus to neutralize without hesitation. Just as, for example, if you placed your hand on a hot stove, you develop a reflex response and to remove your hand without thinking. This is a platform where you can practice to utilize what you've been taught in techniques and forms and katas in your dojos in an application that is against a random attack to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. As I mentioned earlier, and Professor Gary Lee had mentioned it earlier, we are planning to update the history portal with the first four history generals. My developers and I are working out and fine-tuning the graphics of this presentation and release. You'll be able to take a journey through a Japanese village to meet the wisdom warrior, Professor Gary Lee, after defeating the hologram attacker, then to be introduced to the first four history generals and their amazing bios for all to see. As mentioned by Professor Gary Lee, Judge Roy Kerbin, who will be honored and roasted in the October by the Sports Karate Museum. George and Chris Minishu, outstanding martial arts practitioners, and the amazing Mike Dillard, the owner of Black Belt Magazine and the founder of Century Martial Arts. But most importantly, to introduce Professor Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior, the founder of the Sports Karate Museum. Professor Gary, thank you so much for having me as introducing you in part of this program, sir.
Well, thank you for saving lives, Ricky. I appreciate it so much. And, you've been on the air now with me for almost a year, and you are part of the Karate Museum, you and Rick, and you're the great instructor who we lost. He was your instructor, Rick Wigginton, who trained with the great Ronald Duncan, the first ninjutsu guy out of New York. And, I want to say this. I remember it was about 4 or 5 years ago, Rick Shanahan brought me Ronald Duncan's Red Belt and the Murderer's Row certificate. Man, that was priceless to me. And I appreciate Rick Wigginton because he was a writer for Black Belt Magazine, and he was an amazing knife man. And the village and the idea of having a village where you walk in and learn history and you walk out and face the hologram and earn the right to go to the history portals, to me, that's amazing because, the virtual reality is the future because it'll be military, police, business, in pleasure, enjoyment, gaming, and education. And we're right smack in the middle of it. And every day, every time you talk to the inventors, I treasure the fact the memory of these guys will be there forever. And I want to thank you, Reggie. Thank you for what you've done. Means so much to me. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Moving right along, I've got a guy that I have to put on a leash every time I see him because he's alias this man. I'm talking about the Wolverine. Now, the Wolverine is known to say what he means what he says, and he can back it up. So every week, I kind of take off the leash, and I let him kind of go Wolverine on me. And I like to bring him on right now. Wolverine?
Yes, sir.
Wolverine, yeah, 3 minutes.
Yes, sir.
About. What does your Wolverine think about the history of sport karate?
That was a good introduction, by the way, Professor. I know that sometimes I stress, poor Jesse out, and but I mean well because, I love the radio show. I love the history. I love what everybody's doing. It means so much, and that's what people need to understand about how important the Sport Karate Museum is. Because without the Sport Karate museum, things would be lost. And I know that we do the books and we talk about a lot of stuff with what other people are doing with like even if they don't teach, you know, and how it changes lives. But, you know, in all reality, the sport karate is all about how we do and what the legends have done as sport karate competitors. That's why both of these things are so important, that we have all of these tools now to keep everybody's history alive and good and what, like I say, whether they were a sport karate competitor or whether they wasn't, but now we have those tools to keep all that stuff going. And a lot of people, you know, I have a saying that's on the side of my octagon cage here in class in my gym, and it says, respect the past or you'll have no future. And, you know, what I mean by that is, if you don't respect your instructors and what they set out to do and what they've done for you, because without them, you would not be able to go anywhere, and you would not be able to do anything. I mean, there would have been no Wolverine without Joe Louis, Dewey Earwood, Professor Gary Lee. I mean, that's what molded me into doing what I do. And I had a guy come in, and so he questioned that with the I guess you'd call it the New Age mindset or millennial mindset or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, he said, well, I think it's about the future, and we shouldn't worry about the past or focus on the past. It should all be the future. So I had a little 5-year-old boy that had just signed up in class. So I called the gentleman that said that over, and I told the 5-year-old, I said, hey, today you're going to be the instructor. And he was like, Gary, you imagine turning class over to a 5-year-old. I didn't turn the whole class over, just this gentleman. I said, yeah, you're going to teach him all day. So you train him in whatever you think he needs to learn. Well, the gentleman said, hey, I can't learn anything from him. He's 5. I said, no, he's the future. You're the present, and I'm the past. So that's your future. Get to train it. See what it does for you. Because your future can't prepare
Wolverine,
you, only your past.
Wolverine,
so without the History Museum, we wouldn't be prepared to move forward.
Okay, Wolverine, I have a friend of mine who's a Blue Angel jet fighter pilot, and he uses the terminology, push the envelope. And that's what you do, Wolverine. You push the envelope. And I appreciate your attitude where you're Dean Piles and the Wolverine and, you know, stressing out people like Uncle Jesse is cool because he understands people. That's the reason why he's a people person. But you know what you are, Dean? You're a treasure.
What?
And I want to kind of end the show tonight by talking about two people that we're going to honor. I know that Jesse Bowen's honoring Bill Wallace in July at the New Orleans Hotel, and you can call him directly and find out about that. October 7th and 8th, we're doing something that's against the grain, pushing the envelope. We're going to have black belt, honorary black belt from Sylvester Stallone, the man that played Rocky and Rambo, Terry Funk from the WWF Superstar, and John Paul DeNoio, the owner of the famous John Paul Mitchell team. That'd be at 3 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, I'm doing 4 black belt Hall of Fame. That's the London Black Belt Hall of Fame, London, England, the Texas Martial Arts Hall of Fame, the John Paul Mitchell International Rocky Jericho Hall of Fame, and the United States Hall of Fame. And then at 6, we're paying tribute to a couple guys that we lost all within a month. Mr. Burleson, Harry Mock, I mean, Bob Wall, Phil Capel, Glenn Keeney. I've got people coming in like Jim Buten, Hell Hezebeck, who'll be talking about them, Toki Hill, Arnie Lima, and Herb Perez, who won gold medals in the Olympics, and then General Tom Mulligan, Colonel Phil Torres, and Gunny Sergeant Patrick Kelly. We'll talk about leadership. And then I got some very special, the great Steve Lampert, Mark Delasancho, and some kid named Garrett Lee, and Tony Shalhoub to do a Hollywood movie tribute to people like Harry Mock and Bob Wall, who were actors. And Saturday morning, you got the famous Collar Wars, which is kind of cool. You got to have 100 first places just to be invited. This Saturday night, we got an amazing show with Mr. Kerbin, Roast, with Mr. Corley and Mr. Smith and Mr. Ron Marcini and Mr. Alice Dean, Mr. Eric Lee. It's an amazing group of guys. And we got 20 vendors this year because we got some amazing people outside our community coming in to look at us, to create a movie about us. And that's why we did tonight's show, for the people who are listening to understand that people like A.J. Perry, Dean Piles, Karen Slasher, Professor Tom Spellman, and my Uncle Jerry Smith, and Hunky Jesse Bowen care. And I thank you guys, everybody who listens to this show and understands.
Hey, Gary, I don't think you get enough recognition for the hard work that you do. You've had some physical ailments the past couple of years, but you're still working hard. And my hat's off to you. I don't think you get enough recognition for that.
Even though you're an old white man, I want to say thank you.
An old cracker? An old northern cracker?
We appreciate you, Gary. Yes, ma'am. Well, I love what Karen gave me. She calls me the panda of sport karate. I love that.
He's Poe.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show.
Yeah, the karate panda, though, not the kung fu panda.
The kung fu panda.
Yeah, I know it, but Professor Gary Lee, oh, well, I know you're kung fu, Mr. Okay, so it can be kung fu for you, and I'll whisper karate for me, okay?
Well, you know what, Dean, you
come up with a great idea. I forgot. Sorry, Miss
Blasher. You know what, Dean, let me share this with everybody. Back in the day, I would deliberately line up against a couple of guys because I didn't like the black silk tops and everything. Then I met a great guy named James Cook, who was a country.
I had lunch with him yesterday, Gary.
Oh, did you? James,
yeah, I did.
Cook.
I had a great time. Four hours later, looking at the clock, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
James Cook could fight. He was a kung fu stylist, and he changed my attitude toward kung fu guys. So, but anyway, bless all you guys. I really mean that. Every one of you who are the history generals of the Sport Karate Museum. And as I say every week, and I mean it from the heart, mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Mahalo, Gary. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
Mahalo.
Happy birthday. Happy Easter, I mean.